Homer shared with me Sunday that the Lord was speaking to him, and he really felt he had some things to say, and that's not a imposition for me, for him to tell me that. He has that open door, and it really came at a great time because it gives me the opportunity to concentrate on some things that are going on that the Lord has me to, you know, to really be watching and praying over and just administrating. So it came at a great time. And so we're gonna listen to Homer tonight, and we're actually gonna listen to the Holy Spirit tonight. So praise God. Homer, I'll tell you for your convenience, it's 7:30, actually not quite. So I've given you a full hour, and the only reason why I'm telling you that is, I understand Marty didn't tell me this, but like he didn't say tell Homer this, but they're getting up at 3:30. So if you go past 8:30, he'll probably pull the plug on you. So if you have no more mic at 8:30, you'll wonder why in the world, but Marty has left the building. So, hallelujah. So, Rosie, would you please? Let's give this great man of God a great big hand. Amen.
Yeah, never in 28 years. Telling my wife today, since the first week I got born again, I've been with Pastor Bronk. That's all of my Christian life except for 6 days that I've been with this man. First of all, I went to that church, tell you exactly what I said. I went to the church first time I heard somebody pray in tongues. I'm going to tell you what I said. I said, well, I want to go back. I said, hell no. Exact words. I want to go back to this church I like. I said, well, hell no. I'm not going back. They're crazy. And what made me say hell no was hearing somebody praying tongues out loud. But little did I know, what made me say hell no changed my life. Praying in the Spirit. Wasn't for that long. And I'll say this, I didn't prepare not one bit, no teaching, no nothing. I got done with dialysis today, so I'm blurry a little bit in my speeches because I just got done with dialysis, and usually my speech is blurry till the next day, but I'm just believing. What they say, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and shall not faint. Amen. That's for me. And that's for you. I know now, through intimacy, I had a passion. No. Let me erase that. I didn't prepare nothing at all today. Nothing. Nothing. At all. Not one bit. At all. As I shared with Pastor Bronk Sunday, I've never come to him in 28 years and said, I got something to the church, because we're taught so well. What could you ever say to teach what we're taught, to surpass what we're taught? There's a prompting inside of me. I said, I can't go tell Pastor Bronk I got something. Really? But I was so edified and so excited to go. And I said, Pastor Bronk, we're friends. You love me. You respect me. I'm going to share something with you. But please, out of respect and love, don't agree with me. But if it bears witness with you, Pastor Bronk, I believe, this is what I said, if it bears witness with you, I feel the Holy Ghost wants me to share my heart. And immediately he said, yes. I went, wow, man. I said, because if it don't bear witness with them, it was just a strong emotion. But it was something birthed in me. And I know now, I had a desire to move to Texas a year ago, 2 years ago, forever. And I never moved. And I know now, I know now, and I almost put God in that desire. That desire to leave this church, not leave this church, but to move to Texas, is gone. It's dead. Completely dead. My life, my heart, to see the fullness of the kingdom of God. My heart is here. It is here. It is here. It is nowhere else. I'm called to surrender to the Lamb of God like never before. Called to surrender to my pastor and his wife like never before. And I'm called to surrender to you like never before. You might say, Homer, you're just on an emotional high. Well, listen, emotional high has lasted 9 weeks, man. You might call it an emotional high. I call it grace. And that grace is for you moms, nursing moms, young moms, working dad. That grace is there for you if you just humble yourself in every single area of your life. In every single, cut out every single excuse. Humble yourself. He'll come and take you to grace that you can't even imagine. It has affected every single area of my life. How, Homer? I humble myself in every single area of my life. Humble myself in every single area. There's a grace on me that I can't even explain. To eat. It's not even hard to eat healthy. Desires have gone away for Mexican food. They're gone. They're gone. I eat gala apples like I used to eat Debbie cakes now. It's grace. Salads. There's a grace on my life. Enough of that. I humble myself, man. In every area of my life. From A to Z. I didn't humble myself in emotions. I got in his presence. There was serenity, tranquility, and peace. I have to worship God one day, one morning. I said, Lord, in the voice of Gary Carpenter, humble yourself. Humble yourself some more. And then some more. I said, Lord, it's time, Lord, for me. It's time to give you all I got. To give you all I got. To give you all I got, Lord. In every single area of my life. Since that day, in intimacy, it's me and him early in the morning. So it's time to give you all I got. Into that day of grace. This was after about the first week of dialysis where I had a hard time because it shocked my body. I'm going to get into that. Which is that the first day of dialysis, I said, there's no way in the world I should be in this much torment in my mind. I am a son of God. And I humble myself in every single area of my life. In intimacy, not out of zeal, not out of want to, not because Pastor Brock asked me to, because the Holy Ghost was drawing on me. And in intimacy, in serenity, in tranquility, and in peace, that's it, Lord. I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm here in this town. Pastor Brown calls it revival. I'll call it the fullness of the kingdom. You know what? I have no problem with the word revival. See, my pastor is more anointed than me. He knows the Bible more than I do. I have no problem with him saying that. I just like manifestation of the kingdom and fullness. That's same thing. Same. We got the same heart. See, it's time, Lord. And the grace come upon me that day. And it hadn't gone away. And it's not going to go away. It sustained me. It empowered me not to sin. It's sustaining me through dialysis. And it's with me till the full manifestation comes. Humble yourself, my friends. Ask yourself, why don't I fast? Why is there always a quote-unquote legitimate excuse? Intimacy. Under grace, strengthened by grace, you'll find that place without even trying. Humble yourself, and it will come. Working mom, young mom, working father, working husband. He'll strengthen you with his grace like nothing you've ever experienced in your life. Humble yourself. He'll come and attach himself to you and strengthen you with his grace, which is dunamis power, his grace, and you'll walk right into it. Are you with me? This is where I belong. As Pastor Bronx associate. And is your friend. Never in my life have I been in a place like this for 9 straight weeks. He's just had me in the Gospels. No epistles, just Gospels. The book of Isaiah. It's the Gospels. For what reason? To believe him. To have the Gospels renovate my thought process. I said to myself in intimacy the other day, about a month, 2 months ago, I said, Lord, in your presence today, in your presence, I'll make a commitment to you, not out of zeal. I'm talking slow on purpose because if I talk faster, I'll blur my speech because of I was just in heaven right now in dialysis, so I'm talking slow for a reason. In intimacy, I said, Lord, I love you. And today, between me and you in this quiet time in my room, I give myself to the ministry of the word from now on and to prayer and to fasting, Father. Not in season, but as a complete lifestyle, Lord. My heart is yours. This is my cry to you, Father. And he came immediately and strengthened me with his grace. I fast. Isaiah says, Isaiah 53. I fast to not do my own pleasure. To not do my own desires, dying to my own pleasure. And it's dying, they're dying. I pray for change. I don't pray for want. I don't pray out of fear, out of deficiency. I pray and love him out of sonship and grace. I'm here. I read in the gospel the other day and it caught my attention, something so simplistic. This is the only line that I prepared tonight to say to you today. This is the only line where Jesus told Simon Peter, when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. So I'm here today to strengthen you, brethren. We don't have Pharisees here. We don't have Sadducees here. We don't have hypocrites here. We got men and women that love Jesus. So I'm here today, born of God, to strengthen you in your faith. Because you're here for a reason. And I want so much to speak the complete mind of Christ to you, completely led by the Holy Spirit, to strengthen you in the faith. When you fall in love with Jesus, truly fall in love with him, you wake up in the morning and you just start worshiping God. On my bed, just there, I just begin to worship him. It seems so real. Then I'll sit on my couch and just worship him. No music, just me and him. Tranquility, peace, serenity. You can just feel it in the room. It's a peace. Then after I'm there a while worshiping God, I know when to transition over into tongues, into the Bible hearing, my CD player. But every morning, I start out with worship. Pastor Bronk has said through the Holy Spirit, basically, out of intimacy, everything else is spawned from that place. Out of intimacy. And I'm there just worshiping Jesus. And I know in my spirit, after I worship Jesus and pray for my loved ones, I feel inside that I'm allowed to transition into praying in the Holy Ghost and the Word of God and confession of His Word. And I transition over into Spirit. For one reason. For one reason, to change. To go from glory to glory to glory as of by His Spirit. There is a cost. There is a cost. Everywhere we go, talk to people, and all they tell us is stories about sick ones in their life. Mom and dad sick. Their kids are sick. Everybody's sick. There's a cost to lay down our life so that the full manifestation of the kingdom will be made manifest. We are the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its savor, withal good for nothing but to be cast down and trod underfoot of man. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill, it cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put under a bushel, but on a candlestick, it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That was the words of the first light to me and you. All I want is Him. I pray, worship, to know Him and give Him the adoration that's His because of His blood. I read the Word not to preach it, but to believe it. For me and for you. I go to Ave Maria to dialysis, and I'm there in that chair. There's 18 chairs there. And I know something has changed inside of me. Because I'm there with that mask on my face. You don't have to wear a mask, but I ask for a mask. Because I start bawling. People that are there hurt. They're fainting. They're passing out because they're almost all diabetic and have high blood pressure. And I just cry out to God. I said, Lord, your grace in this place. I call every single kidney regenerated. Every heart regenerated, Father, hope, and every elderly person here, Father. The convicting power of God in this place. I pray grace in their life, Father, for every person in here. Grace that they would develop a more stronger diet in you, Father. I pray salvation. And I'm there. I can't contain it. I said, give me a mask, please, Toya. That's my friend. You don't need to wear it. I said, give me a mask, please. Because I can't control my tears. And I'm there worshiping Jesus. I know something's changed because I'm not crying for myself. I'm mourning for the people. They're elderly. They're tired. They're on walkers. They're passing out. They're throwing up. Because of the effect dialysis is on the body, it can wear you out. If I didn't know my Savior the way I do, I would be worn out. It wears you out. It drains you. And I'm there. The secret place of my heart. Going to my Father. I don't beg Him. I say life is in this place, Lord. Every kidney regenerated in Jesus' name. And I'm there. Place of compassion. Not out of emotion or zeal, but out of the compassion of God. So I wake up in the morning just to be with Him. Transition into the Word and tongues and confession. And I've set my schedule up of fasting. All these do I do now. As a lifestyle. With a single eye. If I wake up every morning to be with Him and to renovate my mind by His Word and by His Spirit and by confession, and if I do all these from the heart, the only motive is to live out of newness of life, to do these out of the heart, to believe the gospel, to see the gospel manifested in fullness. If I do it all from the heart, and I'm testifying that my eye is single. And if my eye is single, there's a bright light inside of me. And if my eye is single, I'm testifying that I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And if my eye is single and all I want is Him, then I'm testifying that my eye is single. And if my eye is single, then I'm testifying that my heart and my treasure are in heaven. Are you with me? If my eye is single and it's good and All I want is him. I'm testifying that my heart and my treasure are in heaven. And if my heart and my treasure are in heaven, my Father, which is in heaven, will reward me openly. The first part of that reward is I get him. I get him. Indulge in him. But it doesn't stop there. Open reward that I get is give us this day our daily bread. Whatever I need, because my heart and my treasure are in heaven, he will give me the children's bread because it's mine. The sovereignty of God works like this. The church has slaughtered sovereignty. The sovereignty of God works like this. If I believe it, I'm going to get it. He can't do nothing but answer my prayer if I believe it. That's the sovereignty of God. Anything else is partiality, not sovereignty. Person believes that Jesus is the Christ, God sovereignly will accept them into the beloved and they will be born again. That's the sovereignty of God. Not that he chose it, but if we believe it, he'll fulfill it. Because Isaiah 40 says that he is our great reward. Our reward is in him. We're one together with him. That's the sovereignty of God. You pray in the Holy Ghost, the sovereignty of God kicks in. You're going to change. He's in us and through us, framing our world. Praying the perfect will of God. That is the sovereignty of God. The church, not our church, churches have slaughtered the sovereignty of God. They say, pray and he might heal you and he might not. That's not sovereignty. That's partiality. The sovereignty of God is, if you believe it, he's going to answer it. So I'm here to strengthen you. I'm not perfect, but my eye is as single as it's ever been. And if my eye is single, and I give alms and pray and fast to not be seen of men, to do everything out of my heart, and I'm testifying that my heart and my treasure is in heaven. Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Humble yourself in every single area of your life. This grace will come upon you. Not because I'm different, not because I'm special. I'm just an ordinary blue-collar preacher that humbled himself in every area of his life. And there's a grace on me. It's been 9 weeks strong and getting stronger. Let's finish this, man. Let's finish this. We have the best teacher in the world in the Holy Ghost, but we got a pastor like not many people have. A man that's given his life to the gospel. Let's follow. First, the lead of the Holy Spirit, but let's follow our pastor. With a single eye. If your eye is single, trust me, you're not serving God and mammon. You can't have a single eye and serve God and mammon. You'll only serve God. Nothing else will matter to you. Not a bigger car. Not a bigger house. Just him. All that stuff goes away. It dies. It dies inside of you. We bought a new car about 6 months ago because the motor in the other one was about to blow up. My wife would have run that old car to the ground. So we bought another one. It'd be cheaper to buy another one than to spend $4,000 on a motor. It's the only reason we bought one. And not an expensive one. Just because we needed one. My wife told me the other day, I'm so blessed to have her. I'm just speaking from my heart today. Is that okay with you? Yes. Not teaching, just. I'm so blessed to have her. She said, I bought me some new dresses. I said, I bet you look beautiful. She don't say nothing. I said, I bet you look so beautiful. She said, you know how much I pay for them? I don't know, $20, $30, $40. I said, nope. She said, $4 on Amazon. I buy shirts for $2. I'm blessed, Pastor Brown. You know why? Because I didn't marry a spatula. You know what a spatula is, Pastor Brown? Women, men, don't marry a spatula. A spatula is someone that tries to flip you from your calling. Not one time in 28 years has she ever said to me, let's miss church this week and have family time. Not one time. She said, I was born to marry you. I was born to have 4 children. I was born to be your wife. She can't flip me. Or nor has she ever tried. I'm so blessed to have her. Even when I was making good money, she never wanted nothing out of the question. All I can say is, all that I'm doing now is just for change, out of sonship and grace. I have friends sick everywhere, man. I ministered to a friend last night that's real close to dialysis. I said, man, come on. I remember what Taylor used to tell me when I used to go to Alabama, Brother Homer, don't drink that Diet Pepsi. Don't drink it, Brother Homer. I don't drink them anymore, Taylor. You won a little too late, but I don't drink them anymore. I told my friend last night in tears, I went to his house to pray for him. I said, man, God called me here to pray for you, man. She began to weep. I said, man, don't do it. Don't do it, because he's right now, he's depressed now. And I can't imagine how he'll be if he goes through dialysis. He'll have a hard time. Me and my wife went over there last night. I said, look, man, eat this. You can eat, man, but just don't eat that. My heart's for people. I have another friend that I found out had something going on in her body, a good friend of mine. There's a cause, man. There's a cause. It's called the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not just word, but power. And in the Holy Ghost. So many friends of mine that are not feeling well. There's a cause. There's a cause to wake up in the morning to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. There's a cause. I just want Him. I just want to have compassion on people. I just want to strengthen my brothers. Matthew 5. This is my passion. This is my heart cry. Jesus taught on the mount, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I see a poor in spirit person being one that's destitute of his own will. Destitute of self. Father, I want to come to you, Lord, with no dependency on self. Destitute of my will, Lord. Complete dependency on your kingdom for everything, Lord. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those that are destitute of themselves, of their will, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they which mourn, for they shall be comforted. I mourn for those people. And I thought, Maria, I said, no, Toya, you don't need a mask, Homer. I said, no, Toya, give me a mask, please. Why, Homer? Just because I don't want them to see my tears. I don't want them to see a 53-year-old man crying like a baby on a dialysis chair. My heart goes out to the people. Some have dementia. They're passing out. Sick. Throwing up. There's a cause, man. There's a cause. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Those that are teachable. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful. Oh yes, merciful. For they shall obtain mercy. We've been shown an abundant mercy. We were shown mercy because God showed Jesus no mercy. My judgment was laid on perfection. I'm sanctified through the offering of his body. I did nothing to earn sanctification. I did nothing to earn newness of life. He offered his body to have his life inside of me to bring my Father glory. So for me to walk in offense towards you when all my sin was forgiven, for me to even say one bad thing about you, it's so wrong and so out of his character. See, we're one with him. I receive you like he receives you in me. I talk to you with grace because that's the way he would talk to you. He is in me. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are ye when you suffer for righteousness' sake, for yours the kingdom of heaven. Whatever things you would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Seeking first the kingdom of God. To lay down your life for what's tangible and what's real. We are the light of this earth. Not just in word, but in the power and the glory of heaven. We are the difference makers. We are to have the single eye, a single mind, not double-minded. Our treasure is in heaven, and our heart's in heaven. And if our heart and treasure are in heaven, He is the first reward that we give. But oh, more than that, man. Whatever we need, not more than that. Let me disregard that statement. But adding to that, our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Notice this. If I'm doing His will on earth as His will is in heaven, I have confidence. If I'm doing His will here on earth, what will? The will of heaven in my heart. If I'm fulfilling that will and I'm striving to do that will with a single eye, the next verse says, give us this day our daily bread. The bread is ours. Will we fulfill His will here on earth as it is in heaven? Not just in word, but in power and demonstration, the kingdom of God. That is what He is after. And I promise you, I'm going after Him. There's 18 chairs in Ave Maria where people are there getting dialysis every 3 days a week. Even when I get off of dialysis, as I am now, I'm going to go back and sit outside on that bench. And I pray for the people at least once a week. Why? Because Him and me might be the only hope they ever have for regeneration of their kidneys. Not out of zeal. Not out of responsibility. But out of compassion. And the heart of God. Like Pastor Davis would say, we have been born again. It's one thing. There's a difference. I'm almost done. Romans 6 says, reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Do not let sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey in the lust thereof. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. We know that. We know. We're dead to adultery. We're dead to these things. Really. That was born again, man. That was get-go. We reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin. Just because you reckon yourself dead indeed to sin don't mean that you've gotten rid of you. We still have to lose our life. Every day. Reckoning yourself dead indeed unto sin does not mean you've lost your life. That means the passion inside of you has changed. Now let's get the want-tos out of us. Isaiah 53 said, fasting to not do our own pleasure, to annihilate those things inside of us that we enjoy still. Not sin, the ambitions that we have, the wants that we have, the necessities that we think we need. No, all we need is more of Him. I'm sorry, that's where I'm at now. No, I'm not sorry. It is a wonderful place to be. My life is not my own. Anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. That word deny does not do that verse any justice. Because that word deny in the Greek means to disown yourself. Disown yourself. Why would he say disown yourself? Because you've been purchased now. He owns your body and your spirit. It took me so long to disown myself, but I've disowned myself. And I'm here as a son of God to manifest the love of God, to manifest the kingdom of God. Yes, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not murder, do not bear false witness, do not covet. If there be any other commandments chiefly comprehended in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill towards his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. That's what we're after. The agape of God. To manifest his love. And if I walk in the agape of God, you bet there will be a fullness of the kingdom manifested even as it is now. The agape of God. Not phileo. Not a humanistic kind of love, but the agape of God. We disown ourselves. As servants of God. Doulos of 1401. Having no will whatsoever. But our will being His will, completely glorified inside of us, to finish this. Humble yourself. A grace will come attached to you that you'll sit there and cry. You say, my God, why did I wait so long to give it to Him all? Yes, Lord. I want to close with this. The love chapter. John chapter 15. The word love is used 10 times in that chapter. 9 times the word agape is used, and 1 time the word phileo is used. Agape is the love of God. Phileo is a humanistic kind of love. It's, if you love me, I'll love you back. The agape of God is, I'll love you no matter what. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. You're my friends. You do whatsoever I command you. No longer, Stephen, do I call you a servant. It's candy, but I've called you a friend. Servant does not know what his Lord doeth, so I've called you friends. All things that I've heard of my Father, I've shown them unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordains you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. Listen, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will do it. If we're preaching in the name of Jesus, this is what he said, and whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he will do it. Isn't it what he said next? These things I command you, that you love one another. If I'm preaching Jesus, if I'm evangelizing in the name of Jesus, Jesus said, these things I command you, that you love one another. If I'm preaching in Jesus' name, I better be preaching with a compassion to love you and to lay down my life for you. Jesus, yes. How did Jesus lay down his life for us? Okay. He lived out of the inner man every day. But he laid down his life for me so that his life would be in me. But at the expense of his life being in me, he gave his life away. He's asking me now, as a disciple, will you, Homer, will you lay down your life no matter what it costs you? Will you lay down your life? I don't want to be called a servant, Pastor Brunk. I want to be called a friend. 1 John 3, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, as we are to lay down our lives for the brethren. The agape of God is not perceived or seen only if we lay down our life and carry our cross. Every day, we've been ransomed by his blood. Always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So we that live are always delivered unto death. For Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also might be made manifest in our mortal body. So then, death works in us, but life in you. The love of Christ compels us. The love of Christ, and I'm almost done, compels us. And thus we judge. The love of Christ, through the love of Christ, it compels us or constrains us. We conclude this. This is what we judge. That if he died for all, then we're all dead. That he died for all, then they which live should not live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. Therefore, know we no man after the flesh. We do not receive the grace of God in vain. What's the grace of God that we do not receive in vain? He made him who knew no sin become sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's the grace of God, and we do not receive that grace in vain. Do not receive that grace in vain. Therefore, we give no offense in anything. The ministry be not blamed, but in all things are proving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, and in prison. In stripes and in prison, in watchings, in labors, in tumults, in fastings, we do not receive the grace of God in vain. We stand strong to the end, because we have this treasure hidden in earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of man. You are so structured in power by His Spirit. You cannot be stopped. Humble yourself. Let His grace strengthen you. Let His grace strengthen you. Let your voice and your words be so anointed with grace and love. Taylor, when you talk to them patients at work, know this. The grace from inside of you is healing in itself to those patients. Let that sink in. You deal with people all the time. Let your words and your anointing and the grace that you walk in, let that be their hope. You might be the only hope they have with the words that you speak. I say this to you, Taylor, because I've met doctors recently where I'm just a statistic to them. Basically, you go to dialysis and you're written off. They give you treatment like if you're going to die. Not that they're mean. They just don't know any better. That's what they're trained to do. Give you medicine no matter what happens. Treat them, Taylor, like they're your own children. Do what you can, Taylor. When you write down a medication, do what you can to give them the prescription and just grab their hand. Not obviously, just touch them. Just pray healing in their life. There is a cost. It's worth laying down your life. It's worth always bearing about in your body the dying of the Lord Jesus. It's worth it. There will be a grace that empowers you. That's uncomprehendable. I'm getting now, this is going to sound like a crazy statement, I almost look forward to going to dialysis, not for the chemo that they call it, because I get to sit there with those 18 people and mourn for their state and confess God's word over them. I said, Lord, your life is. It's not going to be. Every single kidney regenerated. Every single heart regenerated. Hope in abundance. Have mercy on them, Father. Some of them know not what they do, Lord. Have mercy on them, Father. I love you, Jesus, and I praise you. There is a cause. And always bearing about in our body seems like, no, it's an honor to live like that. It's an honor to want to die daily. I don't see the road that we're on as a task or a mandate. It has become a passion of mine to see the fullness of the kingdom, to see my friends healed. One of my friends the other day got diagnosed with cancer. I told that person, I went out on a limb. I don't believe it was out of zeal. I said, I promise you, You're going to make it. I promise you. That's just what I felt in my heart. There is a cause. There is a cause. What Pastor has been preaching for years is flat out spot on. Flat out. Last verse. They prepare for it. I still have time because Harry's supposed to say, Homer, you got 10 minutes left. You forgot? Oh, gosh. Okay, I'll be done in 3 minutes. Come unto me. Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am lowly and gentle in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The second rest in that verse means this: tranquility in your soul. It's there. And there's a lot more to that verse than just newness of life or new nature. Although the Lord has told me some awesome things about that verse. In that chapter, tranquility of the soul is yours. You will humble yourself. Let His grace consume you. I've been converted, and I pray with all my heart that I strengthen you tonight. I love all of you. And Pastor Bronk, I salute you, sir. Miss Candy, I salute you. Not out of zeal or emotion, out of reverence. Pastor Dave, I double salute you. Guys like Gary Carpenter, Barry Johnson, I salute you guys. Alan Taylor, Jim Martin, I salute you. Thank you. God bless you. Morty, you got to go, and I got to finish. I love you. Pastor Bronk.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, just in the speaking of his heart, he shares more word than most people do just by intentional. And I appreciate it so much. Hallelujah. I'm going to allow you to. Thanks, Homer. It was fantastic. It really was. While he's ministering a little bit ago, we got a text from Amber, my daughter, and so she was taking Mike to the local fire station. Something was going on with him. He's feeling really strange and shortness of breath, and his heart was racing. So I'll tell you on this walk, never underestimate the moment. Never underestimate the moment. Don't get anxious. But at the same time, know this, that if you're truly on this walk, the devil would love to kill you at any time. And so that's, I hope that doesn't scare anybody, but we really got we've got revivalists here tonight. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, whatever's going on with Mike, we don't underestimate it, but we speak life to his body. I arrest this thing in the name of Jesus, and every assignment of hell, I command it broken off right now in the name of Jesus. Satan, you will not kill him. I command his heart to sustain right now the life and the power of God. Receive that strength, Mike, now, and I command the assignment of hell broken off in Jesus' name. And I release the power of God to him, and in him and through him, that the peace of God cover them, and the very car they're driving in, and the right now everything that anybody is ever doing to just make sure he's okay. I speak life and grace and peace over the moment in the name of Jesus. And I say, peace be still in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Excellent, Homer. We appreciate it. troubled on every, 2 Corinthians 4, he was quoting, troubled on every side, yet not in distress. Perplexed, but not in despair. Perplexed like, I didn't see that coming. I didn't see that coming. You know, if you're on this walk, and if you are praying, and if you come to moments like, I didn't see that coming, and then the devil says, yeah, he's supposed to reveal all things to you. The Holy Spirit will show you things to come. You didn't see it because you're missing God. Listen, the only reason why you didn't see something coming is because you're already prepared for it. He prayed it out in advance. Don't ever step into a situation that you didn't see coming. There's been so many things that's happened to Candy and I and our families. I didn't see it coming, but I knew in the moment God was right there. God's always there. Stand with us. We love you. Homer, excellent job. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We bless them tonight. We pray that in Jesus' name, that as we go from this place, that the word and the testimony will be an edification to us. We pray for the grace of God to touch every life. God, help us to enter into our prayer closets, but also, Lord, to the power of God in our homes, our ministry, our marriages, and even into the workplace. We bless these in traveling mercies, and we'll see you again Sunday. God bless you. If you have something to give, give it on your way out. Thank you for coming.